and it started working. And I'm sitting there, and somebody else starts talking. They said, I prayed for this, and it started working. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about my car. And so when I got through the church, this other guy was there with me, and I said, you know, I kind of think God wants me to pray for my car. So we got some oil and anointed my car, and lo and behold, the Lord healed it. Well, I don't know if you'd call it healed it, but he fixed it. But I thought my transmission was going out. It didn't go out. It was just little things. But anyways, God fixed it. And it was, the point of it was that if I hadn't heard them testifying and saying that God healed my washing machine, God done this, I wouldn't have never prayed for mine. I was thinking, God ain't worried about my car. You know, but he's worried about every issue in your life. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about tonight is that God knows where you're at. And he knows what you're going to face in life. And he's already prepared a way for you. He's already done it. There's a way that you can live this life to where that you can walk in the Spirit of God all the time. And I had a couple of dreams a couple of weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess, from now. One dream was that the first dream, I dreamed I was preaching, and I started looking up, and when I did, I just started floating up in the air. And then I started prophesying and ministering to people, and people was getting healed. And then that night, there was a huge crowd came back again, and then I was preaching again, and I started floating up in the air again. And so then it was like, see, in the Bible, when it talks about up, it's always referring to being in the Spirit. Yep. When anytime you see the word up, just almost every situation, it's that. It's, you know, it said Moses went up on the mount to get the Ten Commandments. He said he went up. And so anyways, the Lord started showing me that. And then about a week later, I had another dream. And in this dream, I dreamed I could fly. But I could fly at my will. It's like when if I decided I wanted to fly, I could just take off flying. But I was up in the air flying, you know. And so then I woke up and I was thinking about this dream that I'd had. And I felt like the Lord was showing me that we can get in the Spirit at will. Just like that I could fly at will. It was like he was showing me that we can get in the Spirit at will. You know, because that's when the Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up on wings of eagles. And it said, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and they shall not faint. But anyways, you know, I know in my life, a lot of times, you know, I've heard teaching and preaching over the years to where that it makes it sound like that we're just robots and we're just here waiting. And we can't do anything unless God tells us to do it. You know, it's like we have to wait for God to tell us to do something before we're going to have him to help us. But I think that what the Lord's showing me is that there's a place that God's wanting to take us to where that we don't wait for God to come to do something in us. We just go do it because we know that we're in his will. We know we do it at will. How many would like to get in the Spirit at will? You know, instead of saying, "Oh God, please let me come in your presence," we just step into his presence. We just speak a word of life at will. But this is the key to it. He said, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And that word "wait" there means to become one with. And the more one we become with God, the more that we will be able to step into his Spirit at will. Smith Wigglesworth even made this statement one time. He said that he didn't wait for the Spirit to move him. He said he moved the Spirit. He would just step out in faith, and as he did, the Spirit of God would move because he had a relationship with God. And it's just like, you know, your children. When your children are growing up, and you have to guide them. You have to watch over them. You have to say, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have this. You can do this. You can do that. But you know what? One day your child grows up to a point to where he has to take responsibility for himself. And then you have to take your hands off of him and say, now you go on your own and you do it. You know, let me see how, see if you do it right. And then we have to, then we see our children being responsible and doing the right thing. Then it makes us happy because we know that they're growing up. We know that they've become a man, or they've come to maturity, so that we don't have to tell them every little thing they need to do. And how many knows that's how God is? God's wanting us to come to maturity, to where He don't have to tell us every little thing in our life that we need to do. He wants us to come to a place to where we just know what to do. Whenever, whatever situation you come into, whatever trial comes your way, God's already, He knew that that trial was going to come your way. And there's a way for you to go through that trial. There's a way for you to do the will of God and to bring God into that situation. And I know like last night I was praying and I was studying and I was sitting there and my mother called. And she started telling me she was sick, didn't feel good and all these things, you know. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about this message. And all at once I said, what would Jesus do if He was right here in this situation? And I said, let me pray for you. And I just started praying for her. And I prayed that she would sleep good, that she'd wake up feeling good the next day. I called her this morning. She said, I feel great. She said, I slept good last night. I'm well. I'm not even sick. And I said, praise God. And then I remembered that prayer I'd prayed last night. And I thought, but see, the thing of it was, I almost didn't do it. I almost just sat there and said, oh, because you have to know my mama. She calls a lot and tells me she's sick a lot. And so, you know, you kind of get to the place to where you just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, anyways, but this time it was different, you know, to where I said, this is what the Lord wants me to do. What would the Lord do in this situation? You know, and it activated, faith activated the Spirit of God to move in that situation. And see, faith always activates the Spirit of God to move in our life when we're led by the Spirit of God. But the thing of it is, we have to identify with who we really are. See, when we got born again, the Bible said, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And now it said, now then we are ambassadors for God, as though God did beseech you through us. That means we're speaking for God. And so that means that we have to be one with God so that, I mean, if you're an ambassador for the United States, you can't go to another country and promise them a bunch of things that you can't do. It's against this country here. They have to go representing this country. And so when we're representing the Lord by faith, We know in our heart, if we've matured in God, then we know the Word of God, we know the Holy Ghost, we know what God's wanting to do in that situation. In some situations, you might not know what to do, but as you follow the leading of the Lord, as you go, it'll start to come to you what you need to do. And then when you do it, you'll see the hand of God move. I know, I was thinking back about, you know, when I've seen God do some great things before, and I remember times when I'd pray for it not to rain and it wouldn't rain, and I'd pray for it to rain and it would rain, and I would see those things happen. And but the thing of it was, I was thinking about one day that this one particular guy, you know, we was getting off work in the evening time, and this boss man, he, for some reason, I knew it had to be the Lord. He said, Brad, he said, why don't you pray for it not to rain tonight? And he said, I'll leave this ground open here and we won't even cover it up. We'll leave this ditch open. We won't cover it up. We'll leave. But he was kind of sarcastic, you know. But when he said that to me, it was just something in my spirit said, okay, I'll pray. I said, leave it open. I said, it's not going to rain. And so then I went home and I started praying. But you see, God had set this situation up. See, we don't realize sometimes when something happens to us, we miss opportunities sometimes because we don't realize it's a test that God's wanting to see His glory in. And so I went home that night and I started praying. And when I started praying, I went back and turned the TV on, and they said, 90% chance of rain tomorrow. You know, flooding all day long, you know, and it was like, oh, Lord, oh, please don't let it rain tomorrow. So I went back praying more, you know, and then the next morning I got up. But see, I did my part. I prayed and I believed. And the next morning I got up to go to work, and we went out there and met at Dodge City, and it was raining. And they called Birmingham. They said, now come on down. It's not raining here. So we got in the car and started driving to Birmingham. And it was three or four of us in the car. And the driver of the car, he was a person that he loved to torment me. I mean, he liked to aggravate me more than anything. He'd rather do that than eat. And so we're going to Birmingham, and it's raining. He's got his windshield wipers on all the way to Birmingham. And all the way down there, he'd look over at me, and he'd say, Brad, it's still not going to rain? And then he'd go on a little piece further, and then he'd look over at me again, Brad, it's still not going to rain? The closer we got to Birmingham, the harder it was raining. And we kept driving, went all the way through Birmingham, all the way down on 280, and we got down there, and it was a half a mile from the job. We were going up a hill, and literally 1/2 mile over that hill was the job site. And it was raining so hard that there was water this deep running across the road in front of us. And the guy looked at me one last time, and he said, Brad, is it still not going to rain? I said, no, it's not going to rain. We went on up the hill. We topped the top of the hill, and on the other side of that hill, 1/4 mile over the other side of that hill was a job site. When we get to the top of the hill, there was a line drawn on the ground. On this side, it was pouring down rain, and on that side, it was dry. And that guy that had kidded me all the way to Birmingham, when he looked at it, he said, I never would have thought it. He said, I never would have thought it. And we pulled up on the job, and our boss man said, boys, we're going to work. He said, but we wouldn't be working if it rained like it did up the road. And he said, but I went down the road. And he said, if it rained like it did down the road, we wouldn't work. So there was a little spot right between the two that didn't get no rain, and we worked. And so those guys, they all saw that, and you know what it done? It gave glory to God. It gave glory to God. But see, it wasn't me that did it. It was God. But see, the thing of it was, I almost didn't take the challenge because it looked impossible, because I didn't really know what to do. But I wasn't trying to prove nothing to myself. I was just taking the challenge. Sometimes God will let you take a challenge, you know, when somebody challenges your faith or something. But my point is this, that when a trial comes, you know, don't start grumbling and complaining because of what you're going through. But look for the opportunity to see a miracle in that situation, and just start to pray. And just like when you said you're writing down your prayers, and you start seeing those things happen when you start marking them off, it's because when you believe God, then you will see something happen in your life. But the thing of it is, the devil will try to shake your confidence. He'll try to make you look and think, well, what makes you think God's going to hear your prayer? You know, you got mad yesterday. You know, you done this, or you done that, and God's not going to hear your prayer. But see, the thing of it is, you have to have confidence that that you are righteous because of the blood of Jesus, and because of your faith in God is why you are righteous, and why you can stand before God and you can believe God, because you are declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And when you get a righteousness consciousness in your mind, and you start seeing things like that, it makes you bolder when you start to pray. It makes you have a boldness that when the devil comes against you and starts accusing you, you can say, nope, I don't want to hear that. You know, you trust God, and you will see the hand of God move in a mighty way. My pastor, the one I got saved under, Brother Holmes, he used to say that Elijah was a man just like you and I, and said he put his pants on one leg at a time, just like us. And he said he prayed for it not to rain, and it rained not for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And so he was telling me that stuff, you know. And so then I went out on a job. And see, there again, this was my life situation. I was out on my job working, and it was dry and dusty. Dust was this thick out there, and it was so dusty, and it was so bad. And all at once, I remembered what my pastor said. And he said, Elijah prayed for it not to rain, and then he prayed again, and it rained. And so I said, well, I'm going to go out here and pray because we need this rain. So I just got off my scraper, went off in the woods, and this was up here at Walmart Distribution, where it's at now. We done that job there back in 1980. And so I went out there in the woods and started praying. And I said, Lord, we need some rain out here. I said, we really need rain. And I turned around and went back to my scraper, and I got on it, and I started driving off. But at the same time, it was like the devil was trying to come against my mind, saying, what makes you think God's going to hear your prayer? What makes you think this? But it kept coming back to me what my pastor said. Elijah was a man just like us, and said he prayed for it not to rain, and then he prayed again. And so when I said that, there was confidence come. You know, and you gotta. The Bible says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, that you might obtain the promise. And so I got back on my scraper and I started driving off, and all at once the Lord spoke to me and he said, see that man right over there? He said, I want you to stop and witness to him. And I just pulled up there and I said, well, he's an inspector. I said, I might get fired if I get off here and start witnessing to this inspector. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was hot, dusty. And as soon as I pulled up there and I stepped off that scraper, I promise you, when my foot touched the ground, it thundered. How many knows when something like that happens, you know God's behind it? I mean, as soon as my foot hit the ground going to do the will of God, it thundered. And all at once, a black cloud came up from nowhere, and it started raining, and it settled all the dust on the place. But see, the thing about it was, see, that was a life experience. It was something I was going through in my life, and I got a chance to do that. Sometimes we don't do it because we hadn't heard that we could. See, if I hadn't heard the pastor say that, I probably would never did it. I'd have probably said, who am I? I can't pray for it not to rain or rain. But see, the thing of it is, you can be encouraged that whatever comes into your life, God knew it was going to come, and he wants you to trust him, and he wants you to activate your faith. He wants you to move in the Spirit. He wants you to fly. Glory to God. How many would like to fly? Well, you can fly at will. You can get in the Spirit at will. And you say, yeah, but what if I've sinned? Well, that's a good time to repent. Repent and get in the Spirit. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy to help and find grace and to help in time of need. And if he said, come boldly to the throne when you're in need of grace and mercy. And when do you need grace and mercy the most? Is it not when you've sinned? Well, he said, come boldly at that time. But you know what? A lot of times we don't. We'll go, oh God, I know you don't want to hear me. I know I'm a bad person, but blah, blah, blah. And we go sheepishly, and the devil starts beating you over the head. God's not going to listen to you. And the first thing you know, you start backing up. But when you start realizing, hey, God said, come boldly to the throne of grace, then you can boldly go right into the very presence of God and take the things that you need in your life. Glory to God. Look with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. In verse 7. Well, let's read verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. And I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Glory to God. Now notice that. He said you can ask what you will. At will. That's a sign. But at will, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask what you will. You know why? Because your will is intertwined with his will. The more your will becomes intertwined with God's will, you can ask what you will, because God trusts your will, because he knows you've got the right spirit. He knows that you're abiding in Him. He said, and if you abide in Him, He said, and see, when we abide in Him, that means we're abiding in His name. That means that we're abiding in His character. It means that we're abiding in His nature. It means I'm staying in the love of God. Because it goes on down right here and tells us this in this chapter. He said, if you continue in my word, He said, then you'll be my disciples. And He said, let's just read it. He said, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And He just said that after He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you and whatever you ask, I will do it. In other words, God gets glory when you get your prayers answered. When you pray for something and you see it happen, it glorifies God. It blesses you, but it glorifies God when He sees you. He sees the fruit in your life. And it said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you can keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that the man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. But notice, this is my commandment. He said, if you do those things, if you continue in my love, if you keep my commandments. And then He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. That means that if you want to be one with God, to where that your will, that you ask what you will, that means that you have to stay in the love of God. It means that you have to stay in a right spirit. It means you have to be in harmony with God. But it's not, He's already made a way so we can know. He's given us the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost has come to walk with us, beside us, to help us and point us and push us into the Spirit, to show us when we need to get in the Spirit. And but if we get away from our true self, see, the thing of it is, if I follow after lust and desires and fleshly desires, it's going to carry me away from the will of God. Because the Bible said in that one scripture, it said, you ask amiss because you consume it upon your own lust. And so that means that if you start getting away from the will of God and being in harmony with His will, and you start going after fleshly things, that it's going to hinder you from receiving the things you're praying for. But you know what? When your confidence level starts going up, when you see God answer your prayer like you did, the next prayer you pray, you're a little bit more confident. The next prayer you pray, when you see God do something, you know, it gives you confidence to know God's heard you, and you know that He's going to answer your prayers. But you can't let the devil back you down and try to bring condemnation or guilt or tell you all kind of things in your mind. You got to know the Word of God. You got to know that God's Word is true. And most everybody in here has heard the Word, and you know what the Word says. But see, still, what I want to encourage you tonight is that the Bible said the trial of your faith being much more precious than fine gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that means that the trials that you're going through, even fiery trials, you know, it's a special thing to God to see us go through these things. Because did you know that you get promoted through trials? Promotion comes when you go through trials and you pass those trials. You go to the next test. You go to the next level. But how many's ever seen anybody that was a whiny baby? You know that every little thing that goes wrong in their life, all they can do is whine and cry. And instead of believing God, instead of pushing through and overcoming, is just start whining and complaining. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. They murmured and complained, and God sent fiery serpents among them, and they began to be bitten and began to die because that they were murmuring and complaining against God and against Moses. And see, sometimes we go through trials. If we're not careful, we start murmuring and complaining. But I want to encourage you, when a trial comes, just say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this trial? How can I bring you glory in this test? What would you do if you was here, Lord? You know, I was riding home with a guy, and he had a bad toothache, and he was going up through there, and me and this guy bumped heads sometimes. And so we were coming home, and he had a toothache, and I'm over there like, well, you probably deserve it, you know. And so he kept on complaining about his toothache all the way home. And I'm sitting over there, and then finally, when I get almost to where my car was at, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, are you not going to pray for this boy's tooth? And I said, well, he won't do no good if I pray for him. He's just going to laugh at me, you know. And the Lord said, I'll pray for him. I said, can I pray for your tooth? He said, go ahead if you want to, but it ain't going to do no good. I said, well, all I know is God told me to do it. And so I just prayed a prayer, laid my hand on his shoulder. And I was fixing to get out of the car, and he said, you think it done any good? I'm thinking, probably not. I said, I don't know, I just obeyed God. And he said, tell you the truth, he said, it quit hurting. But you know what? It made an impression on him. Yeah. See, because I didn't want to do it. I was just ready to let him keep his toothache, you know. But the thing of it is, see, everything that comes your way, and I remember this one boy that I worked with, his wife used to come to my church, and he knew that we prayed for people and sick and things like that. And so we were out there talking, and we were sitting there in a truck together, and he said, oh, my neck's killing me. And by the time he said that, I just looked at him like, he said, no, 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 because he knew I was fixing to pray for him. But the thing of it is, whatever trials comes your way, there's a way in that trial. I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 35. It says in verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And in the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there. In a way. And what I'm talking about tonight, I'm talking about a highway. I'm talking about a higher walk. I'm talking, you know, and remember what I said about being up is talking about being in the Spirit. The reason it said this is a highway is because it's a highway. It's a higher way of living than living the low life. And he said, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Where are they walking? They're walking in the Spirit. They're walking with Jesus. They're walking in his name. That's what it's talking about, this high walk. And it said, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs with everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Glory to God. He said, they shall obtain joy and gladness. Did you know that joy is one of the benefits of walking in the name of the Lord? Joy is one of the benefits. It's a fruit of the Spirit that comes. It's the proof of the pudding. It's proof that you've got the right fruit. It's one of the fruits. And so the more that we walk in his name, and the more one we become with him, the more that we listen to his voice and obey, I mean, you start getting bolder. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth, he was a pretty bold man. I mean, he'd done some pretty crazy things. I mean, even kicking people and punching people in the stomach and things like that, you know. But people would get healed and get delivered. And it was like, who would have ever thought something like that would have did it? But the thing of it was, he got bold because he knew that God was with him. And I read one time that he pulled somebody out of a casket one time. Pulled him out of a casket, stood him up in the corner, and commanded him to live. They fell down on the floor. He picked them back up again, stood them back up, commanded them to live again. And he'd done it two or three times, and all at once they come back to life, started living. I mean, that's confidence. I mean, that's confidence. You don't try a resurrection. You know, you either do it or you don't. You know, and so he knew what he was doing. You know, he knew that he had confidence in his faith in God. And so God has given to all of us the measure of faith. And so we have that measure of faith. We just have to use it. And the way you use it is in the circumstances of everyday life. Whatever comes. You know, did you know it's faith that causes you not to sin? It's faith that causes you to choose the right path when you know that you could go this way and it could be easy, but it's the wrong way. And faith says, don't go that way, go this way. Faith is what leads you. Faith is what makes you come to church. Faith is what makes you pray. Faith is what makes you read the Word. Faith is what makes you obey God. And so when we get away from faith, then we start going downhill. The Bible said if we depart from faith, we make shipwreck. Faith and a good conscience. Glory to God. But the Bible's, look with me in John chapter 4. Let's read 4 and 14. Well, let's read verse 13. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And this woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I may thirst not, and neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband. Turn over now to John 7 and verse 38. But notice it said that whoever drinks of the water thou shalt give him, it said it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That means that there's a well of life on the inside of us. Springing up into everlasting life. And you know what that means? It means you can drink of it anytime you want to. Now think about that. Anytime you want to drink, you can drink as much as you want. In John 7 and verse 38, it says, 37, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory to God. Rivers of living water. Praise God. But the thing of it is, we have that well on the inside of us. It said, this spake he of the Spirit which had not yet been given. But how many know that if you got the Holy Ghost, you got a river of living water on the inside of you? And, you know, I've noticed that I can feel dry and dead, and I can go start praying in the Holy Ghost, and all at once I start sensing the Spirit of God. All at once I'll start getting a word coming to me, and I'll write it down. It's like I start drinking of that water. You know, when you start speaking in tongues and let the Holy Ghost pray through you, people says, I don't know what them tongues is good for. All you're doing is just uttering a bunch of words. You don't even know what you're saying. No, that's because you don't know what you're talking about. Because when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said we're making intercession. You might be interceding. You might be praising God. You might be praying for what's fixing to happen in your life tomorrow. You might be praying for your husband. You might be praying for your wife or your children. You don't even know it. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. But the thing of it is, when you're doing that, the Bible said it builds you up. And remember that word up. It means up means in the Spirit. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, it gets you in the Spirit. It gets you in the Spirit. It gets you in the flow of the Spirit to where it makes it more easier for you to discern the voice of God. I couldn't tell you how many messages I've got over my lifetime when I'd go in my bedroom and I wouldn't have a clue what I was going to preach. And I'd start praying, and I'd start praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'd sit there and pray in the Holy Ghost, and all at once I'd have this one little thought would come in my little pea brain. And I'd write it down. It reminds me of that. The other day I carried a boat over to the water, and I was backing it in the water, and I had a rope tied to it. And when I backed it in the water, it come untied, and the boat went floating off. And so I told Leslie, I said, me with my lightning fast mind, all at once, I seen a man over there, and I said, would you please get my boat? And so anyways, it made me think about it when I was talking about my pea brain. But anyways, now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, praying in the Holy Spirit. And so I'd be praying in the Holy Ghost, and all at once a thought would come to me, and I'd write it down. And then I'd pray in the Holy Ghost, and I'd have another thought, and I'd write it down. And then after a while, I'd have a whole page of little thoughts that I'd wrote down. And then I'd look, and I'd say, this is a message. And then I'd look up the scriptures and write them out beside each word. And then I'd come to church, and I'd get up to preach. And before I'd get up to preach, the Sunday school teacher would teach on everything I was fixing to preach on. Somebody would stand up and prophesy. Everything, I mean, it was line up on line. Everything would line up, because it proved to me that it really is the Holy Ghost. So can't nobody tell me that it's the devil. You know, I know there's one church that teaches, there may be more than one, but I know one in particular, they teach that if you speak in tongues, it's of the devil. And if it was of the devil, why would God's word always line up with what he speaks to me? You know, if it was of the devil, why didn't I do it when I was out in sin? You know, if it was of the devil, why don't all the bad people do it out there? You know, why is it the Pentecostal people and people that's filled with the Holy Ghost do it, but yet people think that it's of the devil? But it's not. Glory to God. God wants us to let the Holy Ghost use us. And then he wants us to step out in faith. And so this is the message tonight. If I can break it all down into one thing, God wants us to step out in faith. He wants us to move the Spirit. He wants us to be moved by the Spirit, but he wants us to move the Spirit. He wants us, when whatever situation and trials you go in that you're facing, when something comes up, you're going to have that illumination hit your mind. All at once, it's going to be like mine, when you're going to think, hey, I know what the Bible says to do in this situation right here. Right. You know, when somebody says, I'm sick, and just you're going to say, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do here. When somebody says, I got a demon, you're going to say, hey, I know what I got to do now too. You know, because... why? Because you see it in the Word of God. You know what Jesus did when he came in those situations. And so we have to have assurance. We have to know who we are ourselves. And we have to have confidence in our walk with God. Because, you know, you can have confidence in me, but you need to have confidence in your own self. Because if you don't have confidence in your own self, you're not going to be able to stand when you're facing the devil. When you're trying to step out in faith, and you'll see God move. But God's going to... the Bible said Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. And what he does is he'll strengthen your faith in little things, and then he'll make it, then you'll get confidence, then you'll stretch it a little further, and then you'll see God moving there, and he starts building your faith little by little by little. But whatever you do, don't back up. Don't pull your faith back, don't draw back, but keep trusting God, and you will see God move in a mighty way in your life. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we just